It's Marketplace Tech for December 10th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. Today, a company we rarely talk about but use all the time gives us an earnings report. Ever heard of Photoshop? Adobe is known for software and common file formats like the trusty PDF. Jay Fleeshauer is a research analyst with Griffin Securities. He says Adobe is in a strong place right now.
We expect that they're going to have strong growth in revenue, up over 20% to about $1.3 billion. We expect them to remain highly profitable, increasingly profitable. We expect that each of their three businesses will grow at different rates over the next number of years, but in the aggregate show strong growth.
One reason for growth, Fleeshauer points to Adobe's move to a software subscription model, the way of the new cloud-based world. The creator of the digital currency Bitcoin has long been shrouded in mystery. We've had a name, Satoshi Nakamoto, but now we have the real person behind that name, maybe. An exclusive piece in Wired magazine says the creator is very likely an accomplished 44-year-old academic cryptographer and researcher from Australia named Craig Stephen Wright. Senior Wired writer Andy Greenberg co-wrote the story. Andy, talk me through some of this evidence.
So we have emails from Craig Wright to his close confidant, Dave Klayman, saying that he has this paper that he calls Bitcoin or maybe Bitcash that he's going to release in 2009 and that he needs his help to try to publicize it. We have his communications with a lawyer saying that he has an upcoming cryptocurrency paper. We have another communication where he talks about how he got the idea from this other financial cryptography paper. We have a transcript of a meeting with tax authorities where he says he's been running Bitcoin since 2009.
I'm trying to think of another example in history when the inventor of a technology remained anonymous for such a long time and was able to do so because of the very expertise that allowed that creator to build that technology.
Yeah, it is a kind of crazy irony, or maybe just very fitting, in fact, that this is one of the few ways I can think of to assemble $400 million and not have anyone know who you are, is to create your own currency that is very friendly to anonymity. And, you know, there's a reason why the creator of this very privacy-friendly technology also is very focused on privacy himself. You know, it does seem that if we've got the right guy, that Craig Stephen Wright has some conflicting feelings about whether he wants to be public or private.
Do you have any sense of how this might play out if he does end up being identified? I imagine that that's going to be somewhat of a field day, not only for the press, but for law enforcement.
I think there would be big ripples through the whole Bitcoin economy if Satoshi Nakamoto were fully proven to be Craig Stephen Wright. He would probably gain a lot of influence in these sort of debates about the how Bitcoin should proceed and what kinds of code should be added to the program or not. We have this document that says that he has 1.1 million Bitcoins in a trust fund that unlocks in 2020. And if that's verified, then it would mean potentially that January 1st, 2020 would be a day when a bunch of Bitcoins could suddenly be sold off, and that could affect Bitcoin's price.
Andy Greenberg is a senior writer for Wired. You can find his story on Wired.com. Andy, thank you for talking with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Ben.
You can find Andy's in-depth story on Wired.com. The Wall Street Journal reported this week that Spotify might be on the verge of allowing artists like Taylor Swift and Adele to have their music only available on the company's pay service. As a founder of the Dresden Dolls and the author of The Art of Asking, Amanda Palmer has some wisdom to offer.
I'm always a fan of more choices and not less, you know, in art as in internet as in life. To think that every artist is going to want to use the same tools the same ways is misleading, because your Taylor Swifts and the 1% of pop artists who, you know, have the ability to kind of control traffic and throw their weight around have such a different agenda and kind of power than the garage band down the street.
Are you bullish on the future of digital music as a product that can make money for the artist? Or do you think the future of recorded music is fraught and that artists will make more money with crowdfunding and touring, other merch, stuff like that?
You shouldn't necessarily separate digital goods from crowdfunding. I mean, it really is possible that there's a future of micropatronage where the goodwill and the belief and the love for the artist from the audience actually can cover an artist's salary.
Do you think that there will be a future then where a lot of artists will actually choose specifically to eschew those kind of Spotify's of the world in order to go direct to the consumer, which has always been the kind of dream and has worked in different ways over the years?
I think it'll be a combination of both. I don't think it's going to be quite so clean as that. The same way it was in the 90s and the early 2000s when I was just starting my band, the approach is kind of the same as it is now for any band that's just starting out, which is like blast all channels possible. Get your music in as many ears as possible. This whole sort of movement of, I am not going to give you any of my music unless I get paid, that's never worked. It didn't work in the 80s. It didn't work in the 90s. It's not going to work in 2015.
Amanda Palmer is an accomplished musician, also the author of The Art of Asking. Amanda, thank you very much for talking to me.
It was such a pleasure. Thank you.
Longer version of that at marketplacetech.org. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.